Welcome to another episode of Mafia Family Ties. My guest this time around is Frank Barber, a.k.a. Hannah Bill Lecter of Bill's fandom fame. Frank, thanks so much for joining today.
I appreciate you having me. This is going to be a good time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think I was saying right before we started, I've known you for like probably like 13, 14 years through social media. And, you know, we've talked at tailgates and stuff. But this is going to be the most words we've ever exchanged back and forth, like, ever. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is a... I'm so glad you're doing this, and I love watching the segments, and I hope to get to know you a little bit too. So
awesome.
Let's go.
All right, let's jump into it. So you've been a Bills fan for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and Bills fandom, sports fandom, has really changed a lot,
mm-hmm.
maybe especially over the past like maybe 15, 20 years. What are your memories from growing up as a fan and translating into like what you're experiencing now, like where, mm-hmm. how do you see that shift? Or just explain to me, I mean, is there a shift? What have you seen? How is it the same? However you want to dig into
that. So my individual fandom changed a lot because I was born in Pittsburgh and I was a Steelers fan. So I was born in 1972. So, you know, forgive me for growing up to, you know, in the household where I was a Steelers fan, you know,
that's
so.
Big news. That's like here, like the Fireman Ed used to be a Dolphins fan, so they always rag on. So,
yeah.
All right. So, I don't know if this is breaking news that we have here with Frank Barber and the Steelers, but
1986, I went to my first Bills game. It was Steelers versus the Bills. Mm-hmm. The Bills did win the game. I think I was in seventh grade. And I remember walking into the stadium and already questioning my loyalty to the Steelers, right? And then the sights and the sounds and everything that comes with going to a Bills game, some of that stuff has not changed. But what I felt that day, the electricity and then how kind the people were to me, even though I had a Steelers jersey on and stuff. And I know that's not always the experience that people have. That was the experience I had.
Mm-hmm.
So much so on the way home, you know, I had made a decision that I was going to be a Bills fan. So from 86 on, I definitely didn't get on any bandwagon at that point. They had not arrived. So, but my own individual fandom changed a lot. As far as fans go, the passion is the same, but how we show the passion, I think, has changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Social media has definitely impacted that. And I think for the better, you get to meet people you never would have met. I mean, I never would have met you, Dell, and some of the other people I've had an opportunity to meet. You go to away games, you know, everybody knows where everyone's meeting up, and it's just a totally different experience. And I think social media, you know, it gets a bad rap for a lot of reasons, rightfully so. But in this case, it can be very positive. You know, the table smashing and some of the other things that have come about are because everybody has a camera in their hand. You can have your moment of fame, all that kind of stuff. I'm not that against it one way or the other. I think it's kind of funny that that's become something that Bills Mafia or the Bills fans are known for. I'm 52. I'm not jumping through any tables, you know, but to each their own. But passion has been the same. The fans in the 80s, the 90s, and today are just as passionate. I think it's just how we show that passion.
Mm-hmm. Now, you touched on tailgating a little bit. You got seasons, obviously. How long have you had seasons for?
So I got them in 99.
Okay.
I had them for a couple of years in the early 90s, and then I went away to college and lost them. My first teaching job was in Virginia Beach, so I didn't have them then. Came home for a couple of games. But right before my son was born, in 99, we moved home. And then, so I've had them since then. I've been lucky enough to have them since then.
Now you're like in front row now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you start there? Or did you like work your way down over the years?
It really wasn't hard to get there because honestly, being in the front row is good and bad. You know, mm-hmm. you feel like you're part of the experience. You can hear what's happening during the games and you can interact with the players sometimes. So that part's cool. But when you're in the front row, you don't see the game the same.
Mm.
So it really wasn't that hard to get there. I think the first year we were year row five, and then we got down to row one from that point on. And I enjoy that part of the experience so much so that I don't mind missing parts of the game. There are times when I'm watching the Jumbotron and having to do it that way. But that's okay. I'd rather feel like I'm part of the experience.
That's cool. Yeah. It's funny because I've mentioned a couple of times, just you talk about how you are part of the experience. I said, I'm doing an interview with Frank Barber this week. People are like, okay. I'm like, you know, he's the one that has the Hannibal Lecter mask. Mm. They're like, oh yeah, I love that dude.
Mm-hmm.
So it is like, you are part of the experience for people too. Mm-hmm. Like either watching on the Jumbotron when they cut to you and the people around you, or you know, at home and then they're showing you cutting into commercial or after a touchdown or something like that?
I'm very fortunate. And honestly, the whole idea, the persona and all that stuff and how it evolved, it's been a lot of fun. And I don't take it seriously at all. I really don't like to be called a super fan. Like, I've met so many people that would never dream of painting their face or wearing a mask, or maybe they don't even get to go to games. You know, that's why I say I'm fortunate to have season tickets. I know I am. But it's really, truly all in fun.
Right. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that term either, because I remember, you know, when I was named like fan of the year, walking up to my, up the steps to my seat, like that first game afterwards, thinking like, there's like 73,000 people here that would qualify for that, you know?
Yeah.
Because people are so diehard. And like you said, people may not put on makeup, but for better or for worse, probably for worse. They'll skip weddings. They'll skip family functions just so they can go to a Bills game, right? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point, though. So, all right. So talking about Hannibal Lecter, like, how did that come about? Like, did you, I can't remember if you were always Hannibal Lecter or if you had like different masks that you wore, like what's the evolution to like where you are now?
Yeah. So it's been 12 or 13 years. I actually lose track a little bit. Honestly, it was during the drought. I think a lot of us were finding ways to be entertained because the product on the field wasn't necessarily doing it for us. The tailgate was always a big deal. I mean, we drive in a couple hours each time. We don't even spend the night. So it's a 2-hour drive. We always had 1 o'clock games at the time. So the tailgate was a big part of what we were doing. But I wanted to make the game itself a little bit more appealing or exciting or whatever. And so I wanted to do something. And honestly, the mask came about because I can still see the game well. Okay.
That's big deal.
Well,
right?
It makes sense, right? Yeah. So people that wear masks where they can't see the game well, I don't really understand that. We're there to see the game, but to each their own. And then my hairline started to recede. So I'm like, okay, might as well shave my head and then paint my head blue. So it really wasn't much to it. And like I said, it's all in fun. And that was a pretty quick evolution. I remember one time right after the, you know, Stevie Johnson, I wore a Joker outfit one time and I did some different things. But, you know, getting recognized is fun. And never be, you know, if you are, I think super fan is not the right term, most recognizable or one of the more recognizable fans. And I own that. And that's great. I love getting stopped for pictures. I love meeting, especially young kids. And, you know, I understand I'm 6'6" and pretty large person, but they're not scared of me. They run right up to me and it's all part of the experience for them, which makes it worth it for me.
Now you have a different mask like every year or a couple a year, right?
I have a few. So ironically, when I started doing this, those masks were $10 and easy to find. They don't make them anymore. Like
That was going to be a question I had, like sourcing those.
They don't make them. So a few years ago, I was able to find a few on eBay, but all of them are from like 2007 or 8. They stopped making them. So just getting lucky to find a couple here or there. So I will actually grind them down, take the paint off, repaint them. I have people that are much more artistic than me offering to do some masks in the future. So I probably will take them up on that at some point.
That's what John does with his guitars, right? Elvis always has something different on a back of his guitar.
John's guitars are pretty epic for sure. Yeah. And he has one specific for each game, you know, depending on the opponent and stuff. And that's pretty great. I don't know if I'll ever get to that point, but I enjoy that part of it and changing it up a little bit and I can change the mask easy enough.
Yeah. No, I love that though. Involving artists and stuff like that, giving them the opportunity. And it's like,
they reach out and they want to do it. And I'd be foolish not to let them do it. Like I've learned some things along the way and they look okay. I think they could be better.
Yeah. Well, as long as they're authentic, right? As long as they're authentically you or you're endorsing whatever the artwork is. I think it's
as long as it keeps me making, you know, like looking relatively intimidating, you know, I guess that's part of it. You know, that really wasn't the intent when I started, but I think it worked out that way.
I like the one when you had the Zubaz. Mm-hmm. That must have taken time to paint that on there and everything.
Yeah, so it's a labor of love, like with all this stuff. All of us have our routines, you know, and I really appreciate hearing other people's routines, be it somebody that's one of the fans that goes to the games or just somebody that, you know, even if you're at home, I guarantee if you're a Bills fan, you have a routine every morning or unfortunately late with all the night games throws our routines off. But I think it's great that all of us have those routines, and I definitely have mine, be it the day before, getting the mask ready, making sure I have all my stuff around, all that kind of thing. And I don't know what I'm going to do without it someday, because it's definitely part of who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would you have to do without it? Just keep it. Let's keep it going.
Well, I'm 52. We'll see. What's going on?
Yeah. It'll be even more fun with a 72-year-old Frank.
Yeah, it's not going to be as intimidating as they helped me down to my seat, right? Yes.
I love it. Right. Okay. So I think some people know this because, you know, the news has done spots and profiles on you in the past, but maybe not everybody knows.
Sure.
And you talk about the 2-hour commute. So I'm going to segue right into that. Mm-hmm. So what's it like being a principal at a middle school and having to be, you know, you're 2 hours out from getting to bed before you have to get up and yell at kids the next day or something?
Yeah. So I am pretty proud of the fact that I can go to a night game and I make it the next day. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm there. I'm not as probably as effective that next day. And it's fun too, if I happen to get on TV the night before, and then the number of kids that will have stayed up probably later than they should have. And, but they're excited to see me the next day to let me know that they saw me. So all of that is great fun.
So everybody knows.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Everybody
Mr.
knows.
Mr. Barber is.
Yeah. My superintendent is very kind. I've worked with a couple superintendents, and each have been, not only accepting of it, but really welcoming it, you know, but I do use it for some good within the school too. So I think that's very much part of it. I have dressed up a couple of times at school. Yeah. So
assemblies or whatever.
No. So I've used it to spur on our food drives that we have at the school. Yeah. At first, when I started doing it, I didn't really understand the opportunity it afforded me to use it to maybe do some charitable stuff. So, to be honest, some of the stuff obviously that you've done, but you get on social media and you talk about what social media can do in a positive way. Yes. You start to see what other people are doing in their communities, and you try to figure out what little things you can do. Mm-hmm. Right. So for me, it's working with a local food pantry, and you know, over the past 5 years, we've gotten 20,000 items for our food pantry, which is significant given the size of the Paint a Post food pantry is where we take our things. So, you know, I will throw out a number, 4,000 items to the student body and to the staff. And I will also put it on Twitter and say, if we get to 4,000 items, I will dress up as Hannah Bill. And so, yeah, they definitely know. It has definitely helped with the food drives. And I think for some kids, it has made me more approachable. Others, maybe not so much, you know.
So Steelers fans, those kids who are Steelers fans.
Oh, I give them a hard time, and they give me a hard time, and all of that is really just fun. You know, it makes the day go so much faster. And, you know, I talk about, you know, when I see a kid in a Steelers jersey, I'll stop him in the hallway and give him a hard time. I don't know. But they do the same, you know, they do the same to me. And but so everybody knows, and there have been some local, like, news stories and newspaper articles, all that stuff. But I do think it makes me more approachable, and that is as far as being a principal, that means the world to me.
Yeah, it sets a great example for the kids too. Like, hey, listen, no one's forcing you to grow up to be a robot. Mm-hmm. You're still going to get to be who you are when you grow up.
Be passionate. Yep. You know, pick your passion. What is it going to be? And I definitely have done my job as far as helping convert a few people over. You know, when I talked about my situation, it was seventh grade. You know, so I'm right in the middle of that.
That's right. Yeah, that's your origin story. Also helps, it was Jim Kelly's first year as a Bill. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that didn't hurt the whole process.
At the time, it didn't occur to me. Like, yeah. I was a fan, but not really a fan, you know. But yeah, I'm sure. And we were right at that, about to be an upswing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was nice to be able to go through middle school and high school through that time.
That's awesome. Any crazy stories that come from, like, the mix of being a principal and Hannah Bill? Has anything really happened that's unique or weird or strange or crazy that you would want to?
So on the way up today, I was reminded of this story. So I've had a couple of students, or actually parents, email me saying that they were really happy their child came home and said, "I feel safe at school because my principal is Hannah Bill Lecter." So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I had kind of forgot
never
about
seen
that.
Silence of the Lambs, but that's fine.
Yeah, they don't. Very seldom do people put that to together yeah. anymore, you know, and especially yeah. not kids in middle school. Right. I hope they haven't seen that movie, right?
That's a classic now, or not even, it's an old people's movie to them.
Sure, it definitely is. But to get an email like that to say, yeah, I feel safer because my principal's Hannibal Lecter is pretty cool.
That's very cool, yeah. All right, so we know you started in around, you think you said seventh grade. Some of your favorite memories as a Bills fan, those early years of your fandom.
Yeah, so going to games with my dad, and so he still goes to games occasionally, but those early years going to games with him, and there was a Monday night game against the Rams where we actually, it must have been late 80s, where we wore Jason masks actually. So we were way in the upper deck, and I don't know where this came from, but like my dad said, let's wear these. I'm like, okay.
So it's genetic. As you reflect back,
I don't think about that, but I'm like, okay. Even then I was like, you know, and I do remember people taking pictures even then and thinking it was funny or cool. So yeah, I guess I started younger than I thought as far as that part of my fandom goes. So part of those, it's always been about family and friends for me. And the experience Absolutely. At the stadium. So those early memories were more about, you know, my dad, yeah. you know, being at the games with me.
I love
but that. Over time it has evolved to, you know, my friends in the 90s, you know, and all those experiences. And obviously that was a great time to be a Bills fan. Despite the four Super Bowl losses, like I made a lot of very positive memories with Absolutely. My friends. It was amazing. It was amazing times. Like people ask me like, you know, how did you live through those years? I'm like, wait a minute, you were a fan through the drought. Like that was much harder yes. to be a fan.
I say that all the time. Like maybe younger folks don't realize, you know, because they think of like, oh, Norwood, you know, wide right, we all hate him. Like, first of all, no, we don't. That very next day, people were cheering him on in Niagara Square and everything.
That was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I always say, you know, listen, to lose four Super Bowls, you've got to win a lot of games during that time period. So yeah, it always kind of ended on a sour note, but like, I remember right after that fourth loss, just assuming they were going to be in that fifth Super Bowl.
All of us got spoiled at that yeah. time, you know, yeah. To look back at like Jim Kelly's last game, you know, Jacksonville mm-hmm. wasn't a sellout. Like we got spoiled as a fan base.
Absolutely.
So to see the passion now after knowing what the drought is like and to not be relevant. It's been amazing to be part of that too, but the highs and lows of being a Bills fan. I hope we don't get spoiled anytime soon. Cause I like the passion now, you know, yeah. hopefully we know what it's like soon to know what it's like after a Super Bowl, but I'd like to think we'd still be hungry, you yeah. know, but you can't assume that because we, you know, in the mid 90s, you could see after a certain number of years that we kind of were spoiled as a fan absolutely. Base a little bit.
The greatest comeback.
Expected. You know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't a sellout. Like you said, Jacksonville, and I think it was 96, January 96, I think it was.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah, because 97 was Todd Collins and everything the very next year.
So the greatest comeback is kind of funny story real quick. So, yeah, let's hear it. Yeah, I missed that game because I was on the way. I got a car accident and ended up having to turn around. I got about 20 minutes from home. Roads were super icy, and I was a young man, early, you know, like, I don't know what I would have been, 18, 19. I just panicked, went home, drove home, sold the tickets at a Burger King at the stop where I got in the, it was more of a fender bender than an, I spun out on the highway, and then I went You're home. Spooked. Yeah, right? Yeah. I went home and watched, I think I got like $20 per ticket, you know, just, you know, somebody at Burger King bought them. So I went home and had to watch that game. At least I got to see it on TV, but to miss that game, oh man. So
I guess anyway. Corning was out of the blackout zone because we didn't have it here in mm-hmm. Western New
yeah,
York.
Yeah, so yeah, Corning isn't affected by the blackouts.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
Somewhere there's a guy that has a story about how he bought two tickets at a yeah, so Burger King.
If you're out there watching this, you bought them from me. So I hope you had a great time. But I hope you didn't leave at halftime like right. a lot of people did.
Yeah, I think there's about 200,000 people that were at that game if you listen to everybody who,
yeah,
who says.
Yeah, and everybody stayed.
Yep. So no, props you, to you, for, no, you didn't. For saying like, I didn't
no,
listen to that angle.
No, it's painful, but I won't stop again. you know, I'm not going to, you know what I mean? So yeah. I was an 18, 19 year old kid at the time. So I turned around. I was scared of what my parents were going to say about the car being banged up and also worried that it would happen again. But now I would just keep powering through.
Right?
Oh, for sure. Man, for sure. I'm not missing another memory like that.
Oh, no. Now you, you mentioned away games, I think a few moments ago. Mm-hmm. You get to a lot of away games?
Not as many as I would like. It's hard. I don't like to miss days of school. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I did miss a day this year. I went to Kansas City and I wanted to be there at the end of the year. I was so convinced that this was the year to get over the top that I had to be there. Like I had to be there. I would do it again. Even if you told me we were not going to win, I would go because it was just such an experience. Buddy and I drove and, I know as crazy as that sounds, that was the way that we chose to do it. And the drive itself. As soon as
that happens, they knock up the prices on the flights and everything, right?
No, so. Right. And I had never been to Kansas City and I like to drive. Like I just, and the way there obviously felt a lot shorter than the way home. We didn't talk for a few hours on the way back. Eventually we started to commiserate a little bit after a few hours, but we needed a few hours to not talk.
Yeah, sit in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what Bills fans do, right? Yep. We sit in it until we're ready and we rise up and we get after it again.
Yep. So is that like your favorite road trip that you've been on? I mean, loss notwithstanding would be Kansas City?
No. I would say Detroit.
Detroit?
Thanksgiving. So, I mean, it's just so I have a bucket list of stadiums and experiences, and Detroit was one of those for me. And to be able to go there with a couple of friends and my son was a big deal.
Catch a win. Know?
So, I mean, it was on Thanksgiving Day, too. It was just, you know, epic. You know?
I mean, that's a classic, right?
Yeah.
You know, Detroit, Dallas, Thanksgiving football.
Yep. And Thanksgiving, being away from home, I've been lucky enough to do that a couple of times. I didn't go to Dallas, but I went to New Orleans and then Detroit. And, you know, yes, the turkey's a little dry and it's on a paper plate and you have the slice of cranberry or whatever, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But in Labatt's, and it's just like, this feels right. You know, it feels right. And I'm with, you know, a few hundred people, Bills fans at a tailgate, and I get it. It's not my family, but it is my family.
Now you said slice of cranberry. Were you just throwing shade at canned cranberry sauce?
So no, I have to
I won't have that.
I have to have it. So no, I like cranberry all kinds, like whether it be like the Wegmans kind where they put a little orange in there, whatever, that's cool with me. I like them all though. It's weird.
Right. Yeah. I got to have it right out of the can with the ridges on there and everything. I need that.
Oh, that doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah. No. All right. Good. All right. So any cool players or alumni that you've had the opportunity to interact with?
So my students and people that know my persona assume that I know a lot of players. Del, I've never met anybody.
Ever? You've not met a player? Like
other
former,
than going
current?
By, like, you know, slap me five, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like very little. Reed sometimes will, you know, it will message a little bit on Twitter.
You guys share. You have the you know, the.
I think it's probably the hairstyle, right? Reed and I have a similar hairstyle. No, it's unfortunate, but I think not living in Buffalo is part of that.
Yeah, sure.
And also, if I see them out, I don't want to, because I don't want to say anything bad about people that go up to players, but I want to respect them and give them their space.
Yeah, so
I've seen some
zone players
out,
right.
And I just want to, you know, let them do their own thing. Much as I want to go up and say hello, or I might go by and just say go Bills or something like that. We were on vacation one time in Derby, right before we got traded. Two weeks before, we were in all-inclusive, and my son recognized him and, of course, ran back to the room, put all his Bill stuff on, came back, and he did go up and ask for a picture in that case. But, it was like 2 weeks before he got traded.
Yeah, was it the Eagles? Did he get traded to the Eagles? Yeah.
Yeah, and it was so – because it was right in the middle of the summer that he got traded, and that's when we were on vacation. So, or maybe it was in the spring, maybe spring break.
You're right, it was August.
August. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's good. No, I appreciate it because I couldn't fully remember, but yeah.
He's a good dude. We did a shirt with him. It was like an Arby's play, but it said Darby's instead.
Yeah. He was surprised to be recognized there, I think. And then happy to do the picture and stuff. But other than that, I do like to give the players their space.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that time is coming though. You're going to mix it up with some players or something.
If it happens, cool. If not, you know, that's okay too. Yeah. You know, I think it's neat at games every once in a while, someone will come up and say hello or whatever, but you know, that's the extent of
it. Little kids are probably more excited to see you, mm-hmm. you know, than maybe a player.
Mm-hmm. Well,
little kids.
yeah. Before they know about signatures and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, for sure. And that part of being Hannibal is really the highlight.
Yeah, no, I love it. All right. So principal, Bills fan.
Yeah.
Football and the school year.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that you see that kind of correlate between the two?
What correlates between?
Because I have some here, but I want to see what you're able to.
Yeah. So, boy, that's really tough to say. There's a lot of highs and lows, especially in middle school. A middle school is.
I hated middle school.
So I didn't have the best experience. And I think one of the reasons I wanted to go from high school to middle school was because I didn't have a great experience, you know? So
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm always trying to connect with kids like all day long. That's the best part of my job. The worst days are the ones where I can't leave my office for, you know, there's a lot of things to do that students.
Administration, right?
Yeah. There's a lot going on. And, kids don't need to be bothered with that part of it. But if I have days where I can't leave my office, it is not my favorite. So I want to be out with kids. I want to be interacting with kids. And, you know, I love when they give me a hard time and I give it back.
Nice. I was just thinking how, like, the season in school, like, snow days are awesome.
Yeah, snow days are the best. And I love when students assume that they're more excited than the adults. They are definitely
married to a teacher. I totally get it.
They are not. The adults are watching the weather as much or more, right? Yep. We have the alerts on our phone.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get that call in the morning, better yet, the night before, right? That's even better. But when you get that call in the morning, especially if you haven't already showered and gotten ready, and you know you're getting paid for that day, right? That's still happening, right?
Yep.
Feels great. Snow days are awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. And it's funny to talk about that. Like, my wife will be watching, like, you know, Storm Tracker 2 or whatever it is, or whatever Facebook pages or whatever. I've learned that there's also, like, Facebook groups of all these teachers where they're all sharing information. Like, I'm hearing it's going to happen. I'm hearing it's not going to happen.
Some people predict it, like, a week out, you know, and some people are pretty good at it. You know, I'm not one of those people. But unless there's a possibility of a snow day, I don't pay much attention to the weather at all. So. Yeah.
And obviously snow days at the stadium are just.
Yeah. So I have mixed feelings about them because, you know, I've been through a lot of them.
Yeah.
And some of them are really great. The ride home, you know, I don't know. Sometimes it makes me sound old, I think, a little bit. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, yes, it snowed a foot and a half during the game, right? Yes, it was awesome to see Shady score, right? And overtime, that was awesome. That was the whole experience, right? Now I'm like, you know, as we're walking out to the truck, I'm like, all right, now I got to get us home safe, right? So it's like, okay, it's a mixed bag. So
grown-up mode.
Yeah, and I'm in that a lot for sure. But I love how it looks when they're away and it's on TV.
Enjoy that.
I get why Bills fans that don't go to the games always love them.
Yeah.
So I have mixed feelings about it. You know, I still love like a mid-October game and it's 50 degrees and like that's still my wheelhouse. We don't have enough of those. That's great. Yeah. But
home opener for me, that's my favorite. Mm. Like the idea, like I was trying to remind myself. In January, like, remember when you left and you had a sunburn after the game instead of like having 17 layers on and icicles like forming all over your face?
Yeah, no. And everybody gets smarter as they get older on how to stay warm too. Mm. I'm grateful they finally allowed us to bring in.
Oh, the battery stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I thought it was funny when they had sponsors that did that kind of thing and didn't allow it in the stadium. So I'm glad they caught up with the times a little bit.
Yeah.
So as we get older, we get smarter. So it's not as bad and it doesn't feel as cold as it did, even though just a few years ago.
That playoff game against the Patriots, it was like 4 degrees or negative 4 degrees. I was warm that whole game just because they were scoring every time.
Right. So that game didn't feel as cold.
Right. Yeah. I think it's because we were so happy. I was dancing. I was moving the entire game.
That's the perfect game, right? I mean, offensively, the perfect game.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that did not feel as cold.
Yeah. So you talk about getting old. Like, I'm only a couple of years behind you. I'm 49. And it's at the point now where, like, November, December, like, I'm going to the games. But just, like, the night before, I'm like, you're looking at the weather report. You're like, okay, we're doing this. You know, once you're there, I wish I could just like magically get like dropped into my seat, you know, and then magically get home. It's just a commute there. I don't mind being at the stadium and, you know, and the Shady game you mentioned 2017. I always thought it was kind of funny how you're watching football and they're doing instant replay and there's like, oh, there's one blade of turf in between his, you know, his cleat and the boundary. So he's in that game. It just felt like that. Seems about right. You know, they did their best to keep the field clean, but it was just
the visibility even in the stadium was not good.
Yeah.
It was, but it was fun. That was fun. That was exceptional. To have a foot and a half or whatever it was dropped during the game was memorable. And when you've been lucky enough to be, you know, to have gone to about 300 games, you look for, you know, memories. You're looking for things to make it stand out, you know. So obviously that one stands out.
No doubt. The head to toe red didn't, or I guess shoulder to toe red didn't hurt either.
No, absolutely. No, that was very helpful. But that, you know, even in the front row, I remember the visibility being awful. So in the upper deck, I can't even imagine what that looked like.
Now you talked about the food pantry, switching gears a little bit, the food pantry that you've helped, you know, raise items for and some of the carrot and stick things you've done with, like, if we raise this much, I'm going to dress up. Why is it important to you to be able to leverage your Hannibal Lecter persona with situations like that?
Well, I want to do things for the community. But in the past, I didn't really have anything that I thought I could leverage, like, which is tough because I really want to see everybody do what they can do in their community. And I just have been kind of given a gift or an opportunity that I can't pass up, won't pass up. So as long as I'm doing the alter ego, their persona, I'm going to find ways to, you know, leverage that to, in this case, get food for our food pantry when there's never been more of a need, obviously, right? Yeah. You were kind enough to invite me to MafiaCon last year. Like, that was fun, right? That was good.
I'm gonna be touching base with you this week about that too.
Good, let's do it. So I love when opportunities come to me like that, but I also need to continue to find more ways to make that happen. Cause I know there's other things that I can do. The more people recognize me, the more that I think I can do.
Yeah. I love it. That's awesome. Okay. Another gear switch. And on a previous episode, I asked T about her water buffalo hats and players and everything. If you can see any player besides Josh Allen, cause it's the obvious, run out onto the field 2 minutes before kickoff as they're announcing and he's on the Jumbotron, he's running out, and he's wearing the mask. Who's that player?
I don't want anyone wearing my mask.
I like it.
I don't want anybody else wearing it.
It's not up for consideration.
It's not.
I love it. All right. There's one Hannibal.
That's it. I like when people do their own thing. And if somebody wears a Hannibal Lecter mask, they can do whatever they want, but they're not going to wear one of mine. Like, that's me.
I love it. Yeah. Good for you. That's awesome. All right. And then you can swap me out for Sean McDermott. He's sitting in this chair.
Yeah.
You have 30 seconds to say whatever you want to say. Speak your piece.
Yep.
What are you saying to him?
So, Sean, I'm really grateful for the last several years making us relevant because there was so long before that that we weren't. So to have us in the mix all the time, thank you. Stay aggressive. If we're going to lose, lose being aggressive. Do not try to hold on to wins. Just take the chance. And then if we go down that way, I can't speak for all Bills fans, but I can live with that more than if we tried to hold on to a win and it slipped away at the last minute. So go get it.
Your lips to his ears. Good stuff. Okay, another goofy question. Billy Buffalo has retired.
Yeah.
And the Bills have reached out.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, listen, you know, we're not afraid of crazy terms like Bills Mafia and, you know, all these things. We need a new mascot. Are you in?
I'm out. So
yeah. Okay. So
yeah, I'm not a super fan. I'm not a super fan. I'm not a mascot. You know what I mean? I have fun with it. I want to go. I want our stadium, and I hope this translates over to the new stadium, to be the most difficult place to play. And I think having some passionate fans in the stadium is vital to that happening. And be it face painters, people that have their guitars, chef's hat, whatever works. Adds to the experience for other people, gets people excited, makes it a tougher place to play, and it makes it fun. So no, I don't want to do that.
All right. Sounds good. Speaking of the stadium, great segue.
Mm-hmm.
You've been to over 300 games, as you said. What's your favorite stadium memory?
Whew.
That you would have?
Boy, I'm going to offend some people here, Del, when you talk about that, right? Because I go with different people all the time, you know? So favorite stadium memory. I don't know if I can narrow it down to one. So early on, 51-3 against the Raiders. So ironically, I'm front row now. I was top row then. I could see them coming in with, I don't know how many horses and how many, they had so many police. It was wild because they didn't want us to get on the field. And actually they succeeded. Like it was, they kept us from getting on the field. But 51-3 to know we were going to the Super Bowl at halftime, that was an amazing feeling. So I hope we have that feeling again soon. At home would be even better. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll take what we can get, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, all of the experiences I've been able to have with my son in the stadium, you know, trump that. So I can't narrow it down to one game with him.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah. But the fact that you're sharing those like core memories, right? That's the term people use nowadays. Those core
what
memories.
A relief to when we found out that we were going to get a new stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. You guys are they're locked in now. Right?
Yeah.
You
know? They're locked in and it, more than that. Yeah. So his experiences, which I'm sure he will choose to have, he'll have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that's a really good point because I think we forget about, especially like before Pegula and even now before the stadium, there was always that cloud hanging over the franchise, hanging over the fans. Like when my kids were little, I remember thinking like, is this team going to be around when they're my age?
You know?
So we don't worry about that now.
Yeah, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, new stadium. You just mentioned some hopes.
Mm-hmm.
If you could implement one thing, or if you have a couple things, we'll allow it, you can implement in the new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
What are those things?
I want to keep some of the old traditions or some of the newer old traditions. Like I really like that they're bringing back the alumni, the right here, right now thing at the beginning of the game.
It's
awesome.
That.
Like it gets everybody jacked. Not that we needed it, but it really brings people together. So I don't want to lose some of those things. As far as new things, boy, I don't know. I think keeping fans more engaged during commercial breaks with some different things would be nice. I don't know how they make that happen. But when you go to NBA games, I feel like that's more like that. Like it's nonstop. Something's happening, keeping you engaged.
Yep.
And I don't feel that at the stadium. Like I'm having conversations with people with me, which is great.
Yeah.
But I think they could do more of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great point. Yeah. And to the NBA point, yeah, I mean, that floor is never empty.
No.
The minute the game starts.
Something's always going on.
Yep. Yep. All right. So being from Corning, I don't know how many wing places you hit up out here. First of all, are you able to ever hit up any wing places?
Well, we're going to do that today.
All right.
Of course,
so who's on your list?
So because of where we drive in on 20A, Barbell is somewhere we frequent Barbell, right?
Yeah, Ben. So, I'm a North Towns guy, so I don't get down there as often you know, but so yeah, many times.
That's one positive about the night games. I think, like a lot of fans, I miss the 1 o'clock games. I used to look at our scheduling. I couldn't wait to see if we had one home night game. Now it's like I pray that we have a 1 o'clock game.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's later, I can hit a Barbell on the way. So that's awesome. But recently, I've kind of fallen in love with Wingnuts, actually.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I like it. It's not a traditional Buffalo wing, but it's definitely got its own
thing. Me, it was perfect as far as how crispy it was and then still like tender. But you get too far away from Buffalo.
Crunch, that's what they say, right?
Yeah, like some people that live in Buffalo, I don't know if they know how spoiled they are, really. You get too far away from Buffalo, the wings are different. And we're only 2 hours away.
Yeah.
But there is no place. I'm going to make people mad again. But there's no place near Corning that compares.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I'm here, like today, I'm going to take advantage.
I love it. Yeah. And I don't understand that too, because like working in pizzerias since I was like 14, 15 years old.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like a difficult process.
You wouldn't think.
To put the wings in the fryer for 10 minutes or 12 minutes if they want them crispy.
Yeah. Well, I love how some places are starting to branch out. Like Duff's has a place that's opening in Tampa and some different things. I hope it's the same experience or close, but it's just strange to me that you get outside of a certain radius of Buffalo and the wing changes.
And like everybody just blows my mind.
It's very real though. Yeah.
This is good. This is good. So, do you have a flavor, like a heat selection?
Yeah. So I have to slow down how I say it because I mess it up, right? Cajun, honey, butter, barbecue, right? So when I go to order them, every time I say it too fast, I mess it up. But so ironically, it's not at my favorite wing place, but it is my favorite wing flavor.
Yeah. I think Barbell has something similar to that.
That's Barbell.
That's Barbell. Okay, Barbell.
So I don't know. So wing nuts, I just get a classic medium, but I'll try something new today. I like trying new types and flavors, but I don't get up here much, so I can't miss. I got to make this happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of like, I have to imagine too, like there's gotta be a little fear of trying a new flavor. Cause like you don't get up here too often. No. You don't want your, last wing for however long to be some weird, garlic parm weird thing that,
I won't be getting garlic parm today. No.
Somewhere there's some, we're going to get comments on that. Like garlic parm is the best.
I love how everyone has very strong opinions.
Very strong about opinions, yeah. I like that though. I like it. Yeah.
Buffalo pizza too. Like so Buffalo pizza is very different. Mm-hmm. It's in I actually said we should get a pie for the way home because it's that different.
Yep. Yeah. We don't talk about that enough, how good Buffalo pizza is.
It's exceptional. It's just everyone has their own type that they like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this was great, man. Yeah. I really appreciate you coming out. Looking forward to the, I know we're going to take a photo in a few minutes for the promotion. You're going to have your get up on. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I appreciate you bringing all that stuff. And I'm glad we were able to spend some time talking because like I said, long overdue. We've known each other for years, but normally 10 sentences exchanged tops in a tailgate somewhere. So this is good.
Yeah.
No, appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Thank you for the invite.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.